What I'd like you to do is go with me to Luke chapter 2. We're going to continue our story on some of the minor characters of the Christmas season that have a major message. And today we're going to look at the ministry of the old. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at Simeon and Anna, two very old people who God used. They're kind of minor characters, but they got a great message, one that is applicable to us some 2,000 years later. So let's go to the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 2, Jesus right now is, it'll tell us in the story. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And we talked about that last week. You're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And they did it. Verse 22. And when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Hey, let me tell you what's going on in this verse right here. Because according to Leviticus chapter 12, verses 3 and 8, and a couple of other places in the Bible, Exodus and Numbers 2, after a lady gave birth, she was considered unclean for a period of 40 days. And so she had to go through this purification rite. So we know that 40 days after the birth of Jesus is when the story is talking about. So Mary, I want y'all to notice this. Mary is doing what she's supposed to do. There is a blessing when children of God are obedient to the word of God. Then it picks up with verse 23. And it says, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So what they were required to do in Leviticus is come and offer a sacrifice for the child. Let's pick that up in verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, I want to stop right here because if you go back to Leviticus chapter 12, and it's in verse 3 and 8, I think I already said that. What the law actually said was, hey, man, if you have a baby, you're supposed to come and offer a lamb, and you're supposed to come and you're supposed to offer a bird, typically a turtle dove or a pigeon if you're really poor. And what the Bible just told us right here is that Mary was coming to offer a pair of two birds. And what that tells us is that Mary and Joseph were very poor people. But, you know, the other thing that kind of jumps out at you, Brother Coy shared this with me a week or two ago, too, is that, you know, they didn't have to bring the lamb because they didn't have to bring a young lamb because they're actually holding the Lamb of God. And it's just kind of rich on a double level like that. But I just want y'all to think for just a second that when God comes into the world, he doesn't come through the governor. He doesn't come through Caesar. He doesn't come through one of the Pharisees or the leaders of the temple. But he comes in a no-name town to really poor people. I love that about God. He doesn't come according to the way that humans think and human wisdom. Because I got to tell you, man, I got a lot of wisdom in and of myself. And I think God would respond this way or God should respond this way. And I thank God every day, literally, that God is not like John Melvin. Because John Melvin's got a lot of ugliness on the inside. Well, he's not like John. And he came in a poor family. Because I got to tell you, if I was coming to this earth to save y'all, I'd be coming through Trump Tower right now. It would be huge. Oh, come on, lighten up, people. Here we go. So we pick up with verse 25. Because what tells us is, a couple of things we can get here, is it tells us that Mary and Joseph were poor, yet they were devout. You know, you don't have to have any particular sum of money to be devout to God. You can worship God with zero in your bank account. You can worship God with a negative bank account. And you can worship God with millions in your bank account. There is no financial limit or stress test on whether or not you're devout to God. And so Mary and Joseph, we know that they were poor. We know that they were devout. And they're about to meet this really cool old man by the name of Simeon. And today what we want to ask, so what happens is they're walking to the child and they're going to offer their sacrifice. And all of a sudden an old man comes up. His name is Simeon and he's been waiting around for a while. So what we want to look at today is what do the stories of Simeon and Anna tell us about God's will for our life? And it says, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout and waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, Simeon's use, and just so you know, the early church fathers in the writings around 100 and 200 AD, they were saying that Simeon at this time was about 110 years old. I mean, this is a strikingly old dude. But he was just and he was devout. In other words, he was at the temple when he was supposed to be at the temple. Now, I just want to kind of time out right here and just have like a word of practical godliness right here. You know, when devout people, good people, children of God are doing the things that God has asked you to do, there are blessings in this. Because it says that Simeon was a devout man, and it was revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the consolation of Israel. Now, for the children, the consolation of Israel means the comfort of Israel. And I want y'all to stop and just think about it. If Simeon is indeed about 100 years old, this means that he was born approximately 100 BC. That would be almost the exact same time period that Julius Caesar was born. And although he's living in Israel, we can stop to just think for just a second some of the things that Simeon has seen in his lifetime. By the time he's my age, 40 to 50 years old, by the time he is my age, this is what he has seen and heard about through travelers that have come from afar. Man, that Roman Republic, man, they're really undergoing some sieges right now. There's a dude named Julius Caesar. He's kind of taken over. And then in about 20 years after that, in the year 37, when King Antigonus started a civil war because Rome was starting to exert its power over the Middle East, and Caesar conquered the Middle East, and King Antigonus died. So he had seen his country overrun by the Romans. And Pax Romana, not so much. Not so peaceful for the children of Israel. This is what Simeon had seen. And then shortly after the Caesar took over, he had appointed a governor by the name of Herod. So we'd seen this. And in the year 37, Herod ordered the destruction of a whole bunch of people. So Simeon had seen not only the rise of the Roman Republic, and he'd seen the civil war where they took over his country. Then he'd seen King Herod take over and the destruction of a whole bunch of Israelites. And then later he ordered the death of all the firstborn, you know. So Simeon had seen a lot of war. He had seen a lot of terrorism. He had seen a lot of poverty. It's not that much different than it is today. And this is Simeon's prayer. Because it says that Simeon was a just and a devout man. Simeon's prayer was, Lord, let me see your consolation. And this is based on Isaiah chapter 40. Because in Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord is promising, I'm going to send my Messiah, I'm going to send my Christ, and he's going to comfort my people. And Simeon's prayer is, Lord, let me see that comfort. Lord, let me see that comfort. Lord, let me see that comfort. And the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon, you're going to get to see it. You're going to get to see it. I got to tell you, I need to pray that prayer. And some of us out here do too. How many of y'all got really stressed out with the presidential election? I mean, it was like the fate of the country was hinging on this one little election, and we kind of forgot that we're serving a sovereign God. Lord, let me see your comfort. How many of y'all have heard that ISIS is going to start attacking churches and are stressed out about that? Lord, let me see your comfort. How many of y'all are tired of death and disease and poverty and mothers with young children passing away with cancer? Lord, let me see your comfort. Let me see your comfort. And so the promise of God through the prophet Isaiah, Simeon was praying. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that you're going to see this day, Simeon. And Simeon, well, let's see now. I'm not exactly sure when the Holy Spirit revealed them to it, but this is what I know, that Simeon prayed that prayer, and that at just the right moment, at just the right time, Simeon was where Simeon was supposed to be, and that's at the temple. Man, I wonder how many blessings we have missed out on because we weren't where we were supposed to be when we were supposed to be there. It gets kind of easy, people. And I just want to commend Camp Creek Church because the attendance has been really good this year. And I want to say thank you. And I hope the Lord has blessed you this year through your attendance at Camp Creek Church. And I want to encourage you to keep doing that, because I think in the message of Simeon, there's an encouragement that when you're where you're supposed to be, blessings can come. Not in a legalistic way, but you do reap what you sow. And there are times, I do know, where people have stayed home because, you know, their toenail got ingrown. I'm sorry about your hurt toenail. I'm pretty sure the nails in Jesus' feet hurt more. But just being where you're supposed to be and being obedient. Simeon was a devout man. Simeon was a just man. Simeon knew his scriptures, and Simeon was waiting patiently. And Simeon is demonstrating to us what a life of faith is like. Because I want you to think about that. I mean, when Julius Caesar takes over Rome, and then they take over Israel and war and destruction, Simeon's praying. And then when King Herod takes over, and he's a miserable king, and he's just a burden on the people of Israel trying to afford his building plan, and Simeon keeps on praying. And then Simeon orders the destruction of the young, and Simeon keeps on praying. And you know, Hebrews chapter 11, 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so Simeon hadn't seen it, and he keeps praying it, and he's holding on to it simply because it was a promise of God. And that you and I today on Christmas Day, we have the same promises of God. That Jesus has died for us, that he's purchased us, that he has given his family eternal life, and he's given us an abundant life. And so today on Christmas Day, we have this choice as children of God. Are we going to really seize that abundant life? Or we got eternal life, but are we going to really enjoy what that truly means? So what happens with Simeon when he comes up to the Christ? It says, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, man, I would have hated to have missed that. To have said all those prayers to be that devout and then miss the moment because of my ingrown toenail. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms, and I got it. Any of y'all that, I don't know about y'all, just think about this for a second. Some old man comes in up, grabs your baby. I hated it when my children were babies and people wanted to pick them. I didn't like it when some of y'all picked them up. I love, and y'all are like, oh, which one is it? No. I just don't like strangers with their germs picking up my children. This isn't a cool thing. But he just grabs them on up, and he says, he took him up in his arms. He blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of by him. Now, I want y'all to pause for just real quick. And I hope I'm not losing your brain. Because I know some of y'all have opened your gifts and you're ready to go home and play with them. And some of y'all have not opened your gifts and you're ready to go home and open them. So if you would just give me just a few more minutes. I want y'all to just get this picture in your mind. Because it's an important picture when we're talking about faith. And how can we live a life of faith? Mary and Joseph go into the temple court according to the law, because that's what Levitical law said, and they're good people. They're going to do what God says. And they're taking them on up, and old man comes them up, and he just takes the baby out of your hand, and he starts blessing God. He says, Lord, I can depart now. In Latin, it was it's called Simeon's prayer. It's called the departure prayer. It's, Lord, I've seen it. I'm ready to go home now. And this is what he says, Lord, I have seen your salvation. I've seen the light that's going to lighten the Gentiles. You can take me home. Now pause for just a second. Jesus has not made one lame man walk. He hasn't made one blind man see. He hasn't made one deaf man hear. He hasn't raised a dead man at all. Matter of fact, he hasn't fed 5,000. He hasn't fed 7,000. He hasn't walked on water. He hasn't uttered a single word. Jesus is doing nothing more than cooing in his mother's arms. And this man says, I've seen it. How can you say that? Well, Since he's in tune with the Holy Spirit, this is what we're going to be called the unction of the Spirit. Don't miss this point. It was the Spirit that internally said, of all the people that were in the temple court, a young family with a pair of turtle doves is coming up, and the Holy Spirit says, that's him, that's the one. Simeon runs over there, grabs him, starts blessing the Lord, saying, I've seen your salvation. This is an unction of the Holy Spirit. As we go through the next year in 2017, I hope that one of the things that we as a church and individually and corporately can do is be more responsive to the Holy Spirit's unctions in our lives. And kids, by the word unction, what I mean is that sometimes the Spirit just kind of moves your heart. It's kind of a whisper to your heart. This is what you need to do. This is what you don't need to do. This is who you need to call. This is when you need to shut your mouth. This is when you can go to McDonald's. This is when you stay away from the lady at McDonald's. It's the unctions. We had a great conversation yesterday, by the way. She wished me Merry Christmas, and I wished her a happy Merry Christmas, too. But these are called unctions of the Spirit, but don't miss the point that Simeon, no words had been said by Jesus, and so how did he know that it was the Lord's Christ? Because the Spirit revealed it to him through the quiet unction of the Holy Spirit. And he was attuned to the Holy Spirit. And I know that in my own life, especially this time of year, sometimes the noise of people and the noise of situations and the noise of circumstance will tune out the Holy Spirit. And I don't want that to ever happen. As a matter of fact, I had a very powerful moment yesterday. I spoke to Maria about it, and it's something I want to follow up on. But I was at this candle shop, and this person was talking to another hippie about what a spiritual time and experience. And I was just sitting there feeling so sad for them. And I just had this unction. I have to share Jesus with these people. And I'm going to do it in a good form. And you know, circumstances like that will happen to you this year too. Because when the unction came upon Simeon, it wasn't just enough that he goes over there and he grabs it. He lifted this baby up, he praised God, and he announced it to other people. I hope that you'll be more sensitive this year to the unction of the Spirit of sharing Jesus with other people. And just in case you think that this is limited to men, then we come to verse 36. Verse 36, we're going to meet a person by the name of Anna. Now, Anna comes from the Old Testament word or name Hannah, and they both mean the same thing, grace. This lady's pretty cool. And there was one Anna, the prophetess of the daughter of Phineal of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Let's just pause real quick and cover a couple of little practical points about church governance and things like this. Anna was labeled as a prophetess. Now, that meant that she was actually would prophetically speak on behalf of God. There are people out there in Christendom that have latched on to this practice and said, well, see, Anna was a prophetess, and therefore women are authorized to be elders and teachers. Now, I don't want to kill the Christmas spirit by getting too technical with you, but Anna was a prophetess before Jesus came and before the New Testament church was established. There were four various prophetesses that are listed in the Old Testament. Hannah, the wife of Isaiah, the wife of Moses, and the four daughters of, I think it's Phineas. And each of them had a very punctiliar, special message at that time period. And Anna right here, labeled as a prophetess, and she's been a prophetess before Jesus came onto the scene. But what was happening at that moment is not to be extrapolated to the whole of the New Testament church, because the Apostle Paul does lay down clear guidelines for who's qualified to be an elder and a teacher in the church. But make no mistake about it, just because you're not an elder in the church doesn't mean you have no role in the church. And Anna, just like Simeon, was a prophetess. And Anna, just like Simeon, was a just woman, a devout woman, a righteous woman. She had been married. Her husband died after about 7 years of marriage. And now we have, at this time, she's 84 years old. Now, numbers in the Bible always mean something. And if you're wondering about the number 84, think of the number 12 times 7, where you have the nation of the 12 tribes of Israel times 7, which is nation of perfection. And in a way, it's symbolically saying this woman is just like one of the, she's just like a perfect woman. And she sees the baby Jesus, and it's an exciting time for her. And she comes on up, and it says, and there was a woman, one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phineal, the tribe of Asher, great age, lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and when she was a widow, about 84 years, and which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So we know she's a just woman. She's a righteous woman. She's a good woman. And she coming in that instant, likewise gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So we have Anna here, and this redemption of Israel is very similar to Simeon's consolation of Israel. And the redemption of Israel is, hey, look, man, not only have you brought salvation, not only have you brought comfort, but you've brought redemption as well. You've purchased this from us. And so here's the thing I want to kind of take away, because, hey, one of the things I take away from Simeon and Anna is not only that we should share our faith, not only that we should live a faith, but God also has a ministry among the older people. Simeon, over about 110 years old, history tells us. Anna, at least 84 years old, we know that. God has a ministry among the older saints. We remember that Abraham and Sarah were past their childbearing years in their older years when God called them to be the father and mother of the nation of Israel. Moses was old when God called him out of the wilderness and back to Egypt to deliver his message to Pharaoh. Elizabeth and Zachariah, the parents of John the Baptist, were an older couple. And so what we see here is we got Simeon, we got Anna, we got some old people, and God is not through using them yet. We have ministries for our young people. We have ministries for our middle-aged people. We have ministries for the old people. But as young people, sometimes we get so busy, so immersed in the noise of the world that we can't hear. But with age comes the ability to make ourselves kind of available to God. And then Anna takes it up, and she says, and coming in, she gave thanks unto the Lord and spake to him that, to all them that looked for the redemption. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their city of Nazareth. And this portion of the story comes to a close. But perhaps today you've been nudged by the Holy Spirit to share your faith. Don't quench it. Maybe it's going to be tomorrow or next week, but at some point you're going to be nudged by the Holy Spirit to share your faith in a Jesus. And Brother Tim, he talks about, spoke about the Primitive Baptist and one of the distinctives of the Primitive Baptist message. And it's a message that I love. And I want to close out with this message. Because next Sunday is going to be the new year. I love the message and the gospel that we preach in the Primitive Baptist Church. And if you're new to our church, let me just close out the year 2016 by telling you exactly what we are and why we're a little bit distinctive. Because we believe in a Jesus who did save his people from their sins. And that the family of God outnumbers the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. It's a number so vast that no man can number it. We believe that it was a plan that God put forth before the foundation of the world. According to he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be with holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to good pleasure of his will. We do not believe it was a decisional action. Because we do not believe that it's God who voted for us, Satan voted against us, and we cast a deciding vote. We think that's kind of funny. God, in our salvation, this is way too important to put in our hands. Because we as individuals are decidedly wicked. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. The poison of asps is upon their lips. That's the God that we believe in. And he looked at people like that. And he says, I want these people. That all of the vast humanity of mankind that was, will, and ever will be, that God said, out of this vast humanity, I am going to save these billions. And that Jesus died for them and that they're his people. and that at some point that the Holy Spirit will come into their life. And it's not conditioned on what they say. It's not conditioned on what they do. It's conditioned on the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which he freely gave to us. That in that condition, we were spiritually dead. And that in our spiritual death, that God came to us and he quickened us. And you hath he quickened who are dead in your sins and trespasses. And once that we have been quickened, then we have the ability to hear. Then we have the ability to accept. Then we have the ability to follow God. We have spiritual life, but we accept, we hear, we believe so that we can have that abundant life in Christ. Brothers and sisters, that's the message of the gospel. That's why Christmas is so important, because we have a God of grace and a Savior who came and showed us that God of grace.